What did I say? Advancing your Christian experience. That is bringing your salvation into your daily life experience. Bringing your salvation into your daily life experience. That is translating the gospel into reality and growing in that experience every day. Bringing the gospel which you preach, which you talk about, into a daily reality in your life. The husbandman by laborate must be first what? Partaker. If you haven't been experiencing the reality of the gospel in your life, your motivation to preach it will not be there. Will not be there. And you can see for yourself how many Christians are committed to preaching this gospel. You can see for yourself that not many Christians preach the gospel. See, if you eat something that is good, it's easy for you to recommend it to somebody. And say, my friend, I ate this and it works. If you see the weight loss industry, people are recommending all manner of things to their friends. They say, I don't eat meat again. No. This means I don't eat fowling again. Why? Because that's what they do. It works for them. They're recommending it to their friends. So it's obvious to any Christian to know that a lot of Christians are not experienced in the gospel. That's why they don't see its inevitability in the life of somebody. And so they don't recommend it. On Sunday, I said we pay largely lip service to the gospel. But the gospel is true. Absolute truth. Nothing can be more true than the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes when we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, we think we have arrived. Many people who get baptized in the Holy Spirit will tell you they're living powerless lives. Their prayers don't really work much. A lot of people are not living the reality of salvation. It was John Wesley who said that if people believe the gospel, their life must change. It's automatic. It must change. So it's self-evident that many people are not living the gospel. They're not experiencing it. But Ephesians 3:19 says, may you experience, this is New Living Translation already, may you experience the love of Christ. May you experience what? The love of Christ. It's writing to Christians that we must have experiential knowledge of the love of Christ. Though it is too great to understand fully, it's when you experience that, when I have experiential knowledge of the gospel of Christ Jesus, the love of God. He said, that's when my life, that's when you will be made complete. That's when you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. That's only when. That's only when. It's not before then. When? It's conditional. When? When? May you experience the love of Christ. He didn't say read about it, talk about it. He said experience it. There's a difference between talking about the gospel and experiencing the gospel. I was saying when I was talking to the women, a lot of people are talkers. Words are cheap. I said, talking about Jesus is a different thing, but knowing Jesus is a totally different issue. They are not the same thing. So the Bible says we need to experience the love of Christ. Not just talk about God. God loves us. Yeah, God loves us. Yeah, God loves us. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. And we said that. So we need to experience it. And it is this experience that really draws people to Jesus. More than what we say. It's that experience that draws people to who? I didn't hear you. To who? To Christ. It's that experience in our daily life that people see. That's what people see. That's what people relate with. It's what they see. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life. With all the fullness of life and power. That's ability that comes from God. And so when people do not experience the reality of salvation, they lack power. Because this power, the fullness of it is not coming. Then the life we live becomes contradictory. We struggle with the body, with our emotions, struggle with the flesh, struggle with the world, struggle with the throwing all manner of tantrums. There's no fullness of the life. There's no fullness of the life. There is no manifestation of the fullness, the fruit of the Spirit, the life that we are giving. Brethren, do you know life is different from the law? There is not. I remember the story of Wigglesworth. He used to treat the wife so badly because she was a Christian. I tell you, people, it's the experience that draws people. So, one day he felt so bad that the wife went for fellowship and locked her out during winter storm. Locked the door, locked her out. But the Bible says that God knows how to deliver the righteous from all their troubles. So he forgot one door. He locked every door out of anger, and in his fuming, he forgot one door. And the Spirit of God led the woman and said, there's one door this man forgot. So she came in from there. After staying in the cold, she came in and asked him, he says to me, what do you want me to prepare for you? What food do you want? No anger. There's no confrontation. There's nothing. Fullness of the life. The same life that Stephen exhibited when they were stoning him. He knelt down and said, God, don't put this thing what? Come on their what? That's the love of God that no man can live except the Spirit of God. Brings it into our life. He said to him, what do you want me to prepare for you? And then in Britain at the time, they didn't have running water. They were using bucket. He said, can I boil water for you to have your shower and everything? The man broke down. This is real story. It's not made up. The man broke down. He said, I want what you want, what you have. So that for all these things I'm doing, you just love me. And Wigglesworth went to become one of the men that God used outside of Paul to touch entire nations. Because one woman, not two, lived the life of Jesus. It drew the husband. Is it not what the scripture says? That by your chaste conversation, even your unbelieving husband will be what? Come on, church, talk to me. We'll be transformed. It didn't say by a confrontation. It said that's chaste conversation. At your job, anywhere, the chaste conversation, when the Spirit of Christ is made manifest, lifted up, he draws men unto himself. He draws men unto himself. We have a crisis. Serious one. And so there'll be lack of power. There'll be confusion in taking decisions. Then Christianity becomes a drag, something you do out of obligation. Let me announce here, ladies and gentlemen, God doesn't want you to come to church out of obligation. Anything out of obligation is not accepted by God. Because obligation is not love. The Bible says God loves giver. He wants you to come cheerfully, not out of obligation. God doesn't want you obligated to do anything. Because it's like forcing you. He wants it to be a willing offering. Something you do out of joy. That's what David said. I was glad when they said, let us go into the house. He wasn't going there because they're here. He said, I was glad. I love God. I want to go to his house. And then there is this unbelief and doubt that reigns in the heart. And then people give up on Jesus longest time. Do you know what the scripture says? It said, those who deny the power have nothing to do with them. Many people don't believe the power of Christ anymore. Lie. They don't. They believe science. They believe psychology. They believe human reasoning. They believe the power in what men do, but don't believe the power in what the Spirit of God does. Lie. Give up on Jesus longest time. So if there's any emergency, they don't call on Christ first. They call on him when every other thing has failed. They don't have confidence in him. It's not their first port of call. No. And at that point, the spiritual side begins to dim. They argue a lot because they don't see much. Argue so much. And the sight becomes the main means of guidance, not the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. And so there is a how, brethren, to advance your faith. There's a how to advance your spiritual experience. So you go from glory to glory. So people who know you this year, when they see you next year, they say, wow, something has happened to this man. They notice it. You know, one wonderful brother that we used to have here, he told me, he said, my children came to me and said, we'll have a brand new daddy. I said, really? Say, Pastor, I'm telling you. They will have a brand new daddy. This is not the same daddy we used to have before. So the how to advance our lives so that we experience the salvation of Christ. The salvation of Christ. Experience the full range of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is to make sure that we develop a fellowship with the Spirit. That's what he came to do. You know, we live a Christian life that is in neutral. I go to church, I go home, I go to this one, I go home, I go to fellowship, I go home. Neutral. Go to fellowship, go home. This one, go home. I pray in the morning. I sleep. Go home. It's neutral life. A car can run on neutral. Just coast along. You put it on, what do they call that gear? When you are driving, you put it on cruise control. You can do a Christian cruise control and get into a routine of the things you do. Everything becomes a routine. Routine. When the Spirit of God gets involved, it stops being a routine. I'm not kidding you. You see that God does new things every day. You see new revelations every day. Your life is in the world that you can't even begin to explain. Coming to Bible study becomes something extraordinary. Before you come, he will talk to you, even tell you things that he's going to teach you there. A lot of stuff. The thing becomes exciting. He unfolds the glory of God to you on a daily basis. So when we begin to learn the importance of not neglecting him that God sent to us, then he, everybody say he. I didn't hear you. Say he. He will make you, bring you this experience of the love of Christ. Though it is great to understand fully, he will bring it to you. Then he will make you complete with the fullness of that life and the power that comes from God. Only him can do that. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So we start by recognizing his presence, that he only can do that. Brethren, let me tell you something. I was talking with somebody long distance, and we're talking about somebody else that we both thought was such a bad person. Very bad person. So we've been talking about how to help this person. And after some time, I said, I'm not more even talking to them. And then this day, the Lord said to me, you won't talk to them because you are holier than them. That's how the conversation began. You are holier than them. And I came down to save you when I was holier than you. And he said, I don't like that spirit at all. It's not my spirit. So you go back and love them and talk to them. So I called this person again. I said, you see this person we're talking about? We are wrong. Completely wrong. That God hates I holier than that. And the language we've been using is also wrong. I said, who is good except God? And then the Lord said to me, he said, that person you are talking about doesn't know anything. He said, if anything he's doing is the much he knows. He said, you've been preaching this thing for years, and you think he should understand like you. And then a lot of conversation came out of that. So after we finished that conversation, my friend called me. He said, Pastor, God opened my what? Eyes. That what they're saying is true. That we judge people out of pride, out of self-righteousness, and that's not the Holy Spirit. And then the Lord began to teach us how to deal with that thing. Within 24 hours, there was a huge change. There was a very major change. When I mean change, very major. And that change went from that person to connect other people. It was like you could see the thing go like a ripple. Connected other, and God began to show us a lot of things that we didn't even know. Brethren, we must recognize his presence. He's the only one who can do this. Because he'll show you greater and mighty things you don't know. He will show you. We must recognize him that he sent. And like I said before, the early church made a point of recognizing the presence of the Spirit of God. They made a point of recognizing him. Every Christian must make a point of recognizing him. Our brother Christian Nietzsche was sharing with us yesterday some very wonderful realities of this point I'm making. And I think on Sunday, I want you to share it because people should hear it. So in Acts chapter 15, verse 28, for it seems good to the Holy Ghost and to us. It seems good to the Holy Ghost and who? To us. It seemed good to who? And to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Is it the language of people who recognize his place in what they are doing? You think they recognize him the way they wrote this thing? That it seems good to him, who is our guide, he's here. He's among us. But then let me tell you, he's right here with us. Can I hear amen? Then Peter said in Acts 5:3, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? And let me ask you, who was Ananias talking to? Who was he talking to? Peter. He was talking to Peter. There was no visible Holy Spirit anywhere. Peter knew he was there. Peter knew he was there. They had a meeting. They said it seemed good to him, or he's there. Peter knew he was there. And Peter said to Ananias, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Why did the devil deceive you? Didn't even know he's here. You have no idea who is in charge of this meeting. You have no idea who is in charge of this body. He's the Spirit of Christ. You don't know who owns this. You are lying to him. This is his church. And keep back part of the price of the land. Whilst it remained, was it not thy own? And after it was sold, was it not in thy power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. We must recognize. Let me tell you one thing. If you begin to proactively begin to recognize his presence, it will tamper your character. It will affect your life instantly. You won't talk anyhow anymore. You won't behave anymore. If you really, really begin to honor and recognize his presence, it's going to attenuate your character. It will affect you very massively. That is seriously. You find it. Is it? That's one word I'm looking for. It will temper, not tamper. Temper. When I say tamper, you didn't even know the difference. It's temper. What does temper mean? Eh? Cool down. I'm not joking. You know why Ananias was telling a lie? He didn't know who was there. Peter knew. If Ananias knew, he wouldn't tell that. Peter knew who was there. When we do things because we don't know who is there, we have no idea who, what. Yeah. You will know if we recognize him or not. It will temper your life like so seriously. Not when you know the Lord is there. Not when you know. No. Are you a Christian? Not when you know the Lord is sitting by you. Okay, physically, if Jesus is sitting by you, will you not temper your attitude? I'm asking. But he's there. Peter said, you don't know who you are talking to. You're talking to the God, not us. Okay, I'm here now. Brethren, I'm here. And I come to him. And I say, my friend, is it because we're in the same church? The way you're talking to me, I don't like. And Jesus appears. What will I do immediately? Come on, Chuck, talk to me. What will I do? My brother, I'm so sorry. I love you. I love you too much. You know what tampers it? There was a story of a brother who is so stingy. He will complain about, offering in the church. They asked to give. You know, these people who complain should be praying for them. Those things affect you directly and very adversely. The Bible warned the church not to murmur. He said that's what they did in the wilderness, and what happened to them, it attracted demons. We won't hear. You have mouth, you must talk. And so this brother was so used to complaining. And one day, the ushers brought the plate, and he was there looking at the usher. And all of a sudden, it was the Lord carrying the plate. It wasn't the usher again. Jesus was standing with the plate. And the brother said, he brought out everything. Emptied it. He didn't know all this while who was there. He was seeing the usher. He didn't know who was there. Peter said, Ananias, you don't know who is here. You have no idea. You think it's a joke. When Jesus said, I'll send him to you, you think it's a joke. He's here. Ananias, you don't know. That's why you are telling lies. Praise the Lord. You know, that's why the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit, they behave like children of God. The beginning of guidance is to know your guide is there now. That's how I start. So we must acknowledge, first of all, that he's here with us. I want you to tell your neighbor, the Spirit of God is here with me. If you don't have any neighbor, tell yourself. Let's go. Let's say it again. I want you to say it again. Say it loud again. Say it one more time. 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 Is he not the same Spirit that said, I will never leave you or forsake? So wherever you are, is there with you. Because he will keep his word. He doesn't speak to make us happy. Tell us the truth. Let me tell you, these days when I want to do something, I always say, Lord, I know you are here. 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 I'm not deceiving myself, you are here. So it tempers what we do. It tempers what we do. He brings out all these things. It tempers what we do. I want you to do something for me. Just so that I drive this one point home. Even if this is one point, we'll go home with it. It will help us. I want you to do something for me. I want you to get up and talk to two or three people and say, the Spirit of God is with me. Just get up and do that. Just for emphasis. Get up and do that. Get up and do that. He's here now. The Spirit of God is with me. Okay, let us be seated. Let us be seated. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. You know, God did something with me when we came here newly. And then one time I said to my wife, I said, see, even these four square people, they didn't even call on us. They didn't even know we're here. I said, why is that the way they behave here? The Lord said to me immediately, he said, get a pencil, go to the park. I want to talk to you. So I took a pen and paper. I thought something, you know. So I went to the pen. He said, sit down. I sat down. He said, right. When you finish. Okay. So he said, right. He said, write it down. He said, who brought you here? I wrote it. He said, who brought you here? He said, who brought you here? I said, you are the one. He said, does Foursquare know you are coming? Does Foursquare know you are coming? Write the answer to. No. So are they responsible for you? They write the answer. No. So if I brought you here, who is responsible for you? If I brought you here, it's the Lord. He said, I don't want to hear you talk of Foursquare again. He said, I brought you here. I'm responsible for you. They're not responsible for you. And what I want to do, don't worry about Foursquare. So I said, Lord, you should have told me this in the room. He said, I wanted you to come and write it so you will remember it. He said, you know, I was teaching. When I was there, I said, let them get up and say it. I didn't say that. I just kept saying, repeat it. But he was saying, let them get up and say it. I didn't say that. I got up here. I said, I told you to tell them, walk up and say it. He said, remember what I told you. He said, the reason I told you to take paper and pen is that this message is so important for your progress in this country. If you murmur, it will affect you. So I want to never to forget this one point. And from that point, that was it. But that acting that I went to the field and I wrote it, it stamped it where? Mama. That's what I do, get up and tell people. It's not a joke. It's so that you would remember it for this, just for simple action that you take. Because it's so important. Very, very important that we recognize His presence with us. The Bible says, in all your ways, do what? Acknowledge him presence here. We don't. If we do, we won't be doing what we are doing. If we do, we won't be behaving the way we are behaving. And so, number two is that, I mean, we're talking about how to advance our Christian experience into a daily reality. We must recognize the person, the only person who does that. Number two is that we must be interested in his core mission. We must be interested in his core mission. His core mission is to reveal Jesus Christ to you. That's his core mission. Is to reveal Jesus Christ to you. Okay. Is the Holy Spirit a personality? Huh? Is he a personality? Okay. So his core mission is to reveal Jesus Christ to you. It's to bring the knowledge of Christ to you. And so you must be interested in his core mission. You must be interested in knowing. Because if you don't have interest in knowing, you will not be able to listen to him. You will not have interest in what he wants to teach you. If I want to teach you how to fly an aircraft and you are not interested, the classes won't go well. It won't go well. So we need to understand that we must have interest in what his core mission. In Colossians 2, verse 2, I want you to know how much I have agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea and for many other believers who have never met me personally. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious what? Plan, which is what? Christ himself. He said, I want them to be confident that they know Christ himself. That this plan of God, called plan of salvation, is consummated in Christ. That is Christ himself. It's Jesus himself. It's Jesus himself, church. We talk about knowing who you are in Christ is important. But you will not, you know Christ. Knowing Jesus is the key that unlocks every other thing. How many people quote, who am I in Christ? And nothing. There's nothing. The knowledge of Jesus is the key thing. That's why in the Old Testament, the scripture says, let no man glory in anything. But if a man should glory, let him glory in this one thing. That he knows me, God. God said, that you know me and that you understand me. And verse 3, that Colossians 2, 3. In him lie hidden what? All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If you know him, the Spirit of God will reveal to you all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that you should know. The truth that sets free is Christ himself. It's knowing Christ. That's the truth that sets a man free. It's Jesus himself. That's the foundation of your faith. There's no faith without him. The Bible says he's the author and finisher of it. You don't have a book without an author. You can't have faith without knowing Jesus. You can have faith in whatever you want, but faith in Christ, faith in God, is hinged on knowing who Christ is. It's the foundation. There's no other foundation upon which God lays anything except Jesus Christ himself. And let me make a very important statement, church. Please look up here. Then you can write after. God has promised you nothing outside the redemptive work of Jesus. Nothing. God, not acting outside of that. The Holy Spirit won't go outside of that. God has promised a man nothing except what Jesus gave him through his redemptive work. Period. Anybody promising you anything outside can go and get it. God has promised mankind nothing except what he provided us through that redemptive work that Christ accomplished where? On the cross. Case closed. That's why the Holy Spirit came to show you and to manifest it. He can't act outside. Jesus said he came to glorify me. He came to glorify me. So, that's why you should know Christ. In knowing him, you will understand the redemptive work of God. In knowing him, you will understand who you are. In knowing him, we understand the life you have. These are mysteries. The scripture called this mysteries. Go to verse 2. Go back to verse 2. It says, I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have a complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. You know, Jesus said to Peter, he said, flesh and blood did not reveal me. Only my Father did this. Nobody knows the Son except the Father. And nobody knows the Father except the Son. This is God. You don't know God because you're a human being. Only the Spirit of God can reveal who Jesus is to anybody. It doesn't matter what I teach you here, anybody teaches you. If the Holy Spirit doesn't get involved, it's mere word. It's just regular word. And it doesn't matter what you and I do. If it's not the Holy Spirit, it's waste of time. And so Paul knew that. 1 Corinthians 2:2. He said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, 1 Corinthians 2:2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency or speech or of wisdom. He said, I didn't come with excellency or speech or wisdom. There's nothing I do that has any importance that can work for you. Declaring unto you the testimony of God. Verse 2. I determined not to know anything among you save what? Jesus Christ and him. That's the focus of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, brethren. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. There is no salvation in any other. There is no healing in any other. No deliverance in any other. Nothing from God comes to you except what it gives you through the cross, through what Jesus did. Don't we understand this? Except that Paul said, my determination as I'm coming here, I don't want to hear any story. Except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's all I want to hear. Because that's where in him I live, in him I move, in him I have my being. What other story is there to tell me? He didn't say I want to know the Ten Commandments. I want to come and discuss Ten Commandments. So I don't want to hear that. Moses brought that. That is over. That is over. Ten Commandments brought us nothing. That's over. But Jesus came and brought us life. The law that Moses brought is not life. It's not life. It's written code. It's not life. Can't give. The Bible said there's no law that gives anybody life. There's no life in written code, but there's life in the spirit. The second Adam is life-giving spirit. Only Jesus can give life. Only life can give life. So he brought us life, brought us a new life, his life, eternal life. He didn't bring us commandments. He brought us life, a new nature, brand new nature created by God. Praise the Lord. Look at what Paul preached. Acts 13, 38. Warning people about not listening to the teaching of the Spirit of God. Acts 13, verse 38. Brothers, listen. We are here to proclaim that through this man Jesus, see, he keeps telling people the blessings that Jesus brought through his redemptive work. That's what he was preaching. Because this is what Jesus did for mankind. This is what he did for you. This is what he provided for you. This is what the Father did. He said, brothers, listen. He said to them, listen to me. We are here to proclaim that through this man, Jesus, there is what? Forgiveness for your sins. That's what he brought us, forgiveness and mercy. What else did he say? Continue to. Everyone who believes in him is declared what? Right with God. Something the law of Moses could never do. You see, Paul is telling them what redemptive work brought. It brought righteousness as a gift. It brought forgiveness. He didn't ask them. He said, this is what they brought to you. That's what the Holy Spirit came to declare. That's what preachers should do. Everyone who believes in him, everyone who believes in him is declared right with God. Why do we add to this? For God's sake. He said, this is something the law of Moses could never do. Continue. So, verse 40. Be careful now. Don't let the prophets what apply to you, for they said, what did the prophets say? Look, you mockers. He said, people who mock these things, be amazed and die. If you don't accept it, you will not experience it. For I am doing something in your own day, something you wouldn't believe even if somebody told you. He said, I'm warning you people not to discard this truth. You will die. If you do, don't. Because the prophet said so. It was one in Israel because they didn't want to listen to what the Spirit of God was teaching. And so the church is also being warned. We must listen to what the Spirit of God is teaching us today. He says today, if you hear his voice, do what? Harden not your heart. The fourfold blessings through the redemption of Jesus Christ for you and for me. It is a spiritual blessing. There is what? Spiritual blessing in which the spirit of man was created new. You became a new creature. If any man is in Christ, all things are what? Behold, all things have become new. He's talking about the new man. You receive the new life, eternal life, for your spirit. Your spirit is born again. You are not what you used to be. You are a new creature. Can I hear amen? You don't struggle to do it. You can't produce it. You can't fast for it. He said the law of Moses couldn't do this thing. So it's given to us through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. You can't produce it. I cannot. It's given free of charge to those who believe in Jesus Christ. We are all new creatures. We are all brand new creatures who never existed before. And then that gave us privilege now to become sons of God, because the seed is in us now. We have his life. So we're now sons of God. And because we are sons of God, we become heirs of God. If you have children, are they your heirs? I'm asking. How are they your heirs? Simply because they're your children. The Bible says if we are children, then we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, look, you are my brothers and sisters now. So I go to my father and to your father. So the promise made to me is also your own. So we are joint heirs with Jesus. We are heirs of God. This is as a result of the Spirit of Christ in us, the new life we have. Your child is yours because he has your seed. We are children of God because we have his seed. We are born of God, born of his Spirit, born of God, born of his Spirit, born of God. The seed of God is where? In me and in you. The life of God is in you. My children are my children because my life is in them. There's nothing they can do to be my children. They're already my children. You're already children of God. So we have that spiritual blessing that every Christian has. that God gave us through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Can I hear amen? And we are members of his household. His name has been called upon us. Then we have the blessing for our body. What is the blessing for our body? Our spirit is not sick now. What is blessing for the body? Healing. You don't heal your spirit. It's never sick. It's this body. By his stripes, we're healed. It's this body. So we have blessing for the body. It's a holistic blessing. Body, soul, spirit, and our circumstance. And then we have our circumstantial blessing that says we are being redeemed from the curse of the law and we now walk under the blessing. Only few people are saying this thing. Is it new? Is it a new doctrine? Okay. If it's not a new doctrine, can we agree or not? It says we are not under the curse. What are we under? You are not sure. What are you under? Blessings of Abraham. What is blessings of Abraham? It's the physical blessings. It's physical things. The Bible says Abraham was rich in cattle, in gold, in right? Come on, church, right? Yeah, it's the physical blessings. Physical blessings. Abraham was rich in cattle. So we're not under the curse. Somebody shout hallelujah. He said, but that's not my experience. That's what I'm preaching now. That the way to bring this into experience is to fellowship with the Spirit of God. He will open your eyes to these things and show you that this is true. And then he will make it happen as you believe it. Then we have spiritual blessing. We have blessing in our body. Then we have a circumstantial blessing. One more blessing. What is the one remaining? Blessing of your soul. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. The Bible says we have received the spirit of a sound mind. Because we have the spirit of God in us, so we can know the things that God is doing, things that are freely given to us. So we have the spirit of sound mind, spirit of what again? Love. And then ability to discern good and bad. So we are blessed in my, I'm blessed in my spirit. I'm blessed in my body. I'm blessed in my circumstance. I'm blessed also where? In my soul. Totally blessed. From head to toe. Nothing left. Set free to the uttermost. Blessed to the uttermost. Everything about me was touched and covered by the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. If you are one of us, shout hallelujah. Everything. Everything. Now, there's one more blessing that I didn't mention. And I'm going to mention it. Jesus also redeemed us from the wrath to come. You have been redeemed from the wrath to come. Let me say it again. You have been redeemed from what? How many of you believe that? Do you have scripture for that? But you know, churches preached that you are not. Many churches don't believe these things. They don't. They still want to make you afraid. They think by using fear, they will change your character. But God says, I don't give the spirit of fear. And if it's fear, it's not the Holy Spirit. It's demonic spirit. The Bible says you should serve me without fear. So why do we want to use fear to change people? Is it not the Holy Spirit that reveals this to them and transforms life? Is it fear that transforms life? We want to use fear. That is ignorant. High level of ignorance. Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. I will set him aside and say, I know what to do. I'm going to make them afraid. So if I tell them, look, you go to hell, or you go to hell, so they will change. Let me tell you, anybody using that method hasn't changed himself. Because he hasn't tested the new life. If you have tested it, he will know how it worked for him. He will teach you how it has worked there for him. So we have been redeemed and set free from the judgment to come, from the wrath to come. John 3:14. I wish I know how many minutes I have. John 3:14. Does anybody know how many minutes I have left? 12? Somebody says 12. I'll take 12. The first mouth is the one that reaches to heaven. Your clock is wrong. 12. Okay, let's go. John 3:14. Am I communicating to you? John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his, I'm repeating that. Okay, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Whosoever believeth in the Son of God should not perish, but have everlasting life. 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Church. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that believeth in Jesus is not condemned, is saved, is not going to perish. Is saved, shall not perish, is not going to perish, shall not perish, shall not perish. That's the testimony of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus died to pay for his sins, he's free. He's free. The Holy Spirit said, by his death, my righteous one will make it possible for many to be counted righteous. For God made him who no knows him to become sin for us. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. No. Yeah. Can we put New King James Version? 1 Thessalonians 1:10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from what? The wrath to come. From the wrath to come. He that believeth in him shall not perish, but have. How do we preach this and turn around, and when they come to church, we tell them you are going to perish again? But we told them the first day we saw them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. But have what? The gift of God is eternal life. We preach it as the gospel that we don't even believe. See why it doesn't work? We don't accept that truth. We drag them in and we say, no, you don't go to heaven because you believe in Jesus. You go to heaven with your good works. I don't have good works to send me to heaven. I have none. And we sing it. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. I have no other argument. I have no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. When you experience the love of God, then the Spirit of God will bring into your life the fullness of that life. He brings, because it is through Christ, everything flows. Everything comes through him. The life we have, every activity of God comes to you only through Jesus Christ. When you believe the gospel, when you believe, the Spirit of God gives you a revelation of this love. There's some merit that he said, then you'll be filled with the fullness of that life and the power. Not before them. We want to put the cat before the horse. I don't know. Am I communicating to you at all? If you understand me, shout hallelujah. That's why many lives are not changed. We don't believe the gospel. We it's lip service. Now, if the Spirit of God gives you all this revelation, why is he giving you all this revelation? I want to quickly talk about two things. Number one, it's so that it will be in your mouth, so you say so. See, that's how to advance these things. You have to say it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You have to say so. You have to say so. You have to say so. If you're a new creature, say so. If you are born again, say so. If you receive this healing of in your body, say so. If you have the circumstantial healing that you're no more under the curse, for God's sake, do what? Thank you, only 10 people. Do what? Say so. Say, just be a fool and do what God says to do. Stop being wise. I told the women here, I said, every single time God came, when God came to Moses, he said, remove your shoe. I said, shoe, at that time, slaves were not supposed to wear shoe. It was a sign of submission. He said, remove your shoe. You are standing on holy ground. And when he came to Joshua, he said the same thing. He said to Joshua, do what? Remove your shoe. If you want to follow God, please take away your shoe. I don't mean like select people. I don't have to preach. Go out. Don't put it. Go outside. Code will teach you a lesson. That's what I'm talking about. Take away your wisdom. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, be a child. Take away this, you're too know. That's one of the reasons we don't experience it. It blocks us like nothing else. You know nothing. This is a wisdom from God. You know me. I don't know. You don't know nothing. Absolutely zero. I have no capacity to understand it. I've been going to church. I know what I'm saying. Okay. Keep knowing. All I know is that I don't know anything. Mary said, whatever he tells you to do, don't even ask him questions. Just do what he says. If he says to you, say so. Then do what? Say so. That's all you need to do. Okay, I'm not saying it. Don't let your life be going the way you're going. Are you here forever? One day you go. Without experiencing these things, no healing, nothing. Because you cursed it. You won't listen. You won't listen. You can't know more than your teacher. And our teacher is the Holy Spirit. Amen? I said amen. 1 John 4:5. These people belong to this world. So they speak from the world's viewpoint. And the world listens to them. But we belong to God. And those who know God listen to us. If they do not belong to God, they do not listen to us. This is how we know if someone has the spirit of truth and the spirit of deception. From what they say. From what they accept. So all these revelations that the Spirit of God is giving us is to be in our mouth. Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, church, God is teaching us how to advance this thing and make it work, come into reality. He said, open your mouth. Didn't God say, open your mouth and feel it? Open your mouth and say so. He said, with the mouth, confession is now made unto salvation, unto reality. Unto reality. Praise the Lord. Then he says, Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. It means keep saying it without wavering. Keep saying it, for he's faithful, that promise. He said, that promise, your confession. Keep saying it. Don't stop. Don't waver. Keep saying what you're saying. And then the word I read for you, Isaiah 59:21. Isaiah 59:21. He gave, and as for me, this is my covenant with them, said the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee And my word, which I have put where? Their mouth. Shall not depart from where? Out of the mouth. Nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, said the Lord, from henceforth forever. Oh, we won't say that now. We will say what we think, what we feel. We talk with friends. Casually, we'll be saying things. Somebody gave an illustration. I want to come there. He said, if you see flies in your house, how do you stop it? If you see flies in your house, what do you do? We don't even know what to do. After fleeing the house, they come back because something brought them. If you see flies, what do you do first? You look for what brought them. If you see rats in your house, there is food somewhere they eat. So the first thing you do is to search for what is attracting them. My brothers and sisters, whether you like it or not, the words you speak either attracts good or evil for you. You can be joking with friends and be saying that it will work for you. You can be joking and be saying, you can be chatting and say, that things are so hard, this, that's your own, because that's what you get. Words are what? Whether you say it joking, say it serious, words are what? Simple. If you don't want flies, if you don't want those rats, collect those garbage things you say and throw them out of your mouth. And start saying what God told you to say. If they are saying things are hard, they say, no, but I'm blessed, I'm under the blessings of God. If you are ashamed of his word, how can it work for you? How can you be ashamed of what God told you? If they are saying, man, there's flu, you say, no, by the stripes of Jesus, I've been healed. I'm not ashamed of this thing, it's the truth. You know, many Christians can't say it in public because they're ashamed of Jesus. Say, I challenge you, if you are not ashamed, say it publicly now. Leave here and say, tell somebody one day, say, do you know Jesus healed me by his stripes? If you're not ashamed, okay, let's try it. 1 week, say it. We won't. Why? You're ashamed. You don't want our friend to know. Because they will say you have lost your, you haven't lost your mind. You gained your mind. Because Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, if you can't confess me publicly, then I also will what? Deny you before my Father. Why don't we give our testimony to our friends? I say, no, this world is going by saying, no, I'm a new creature now. You know, I belong to Jesus now. We live in a different world. I'm under the blessings of God. I'm not under the curse. You know, they will laugh at you. Am I joking? They will laugh at you. They say, this man has become so religious. And some friends will call you by saying, my friend, I'm also a Pentecostal. We know they talk like this. No, we talk like that. Lady redeemed of the Lord. Yeah, we talk like that. My friend, don't shut my mouth up. If you shut my mouth up, you stop my blessings. I keep saying so. Even if you can't say it public, say it in your prayer now and thank God for it and see it manifest for you. Are you getting what I'm saying? This is why it's not working. You want to advance that you are filled with the Holy Spirit is good, but you want to advance the thing to reality now and it's teaching you how to do it. And on the last one I want to say is that you need to act on these things. If you are blessed, you act blessed. The Bible says faith without works is what? Dead. If he made you righteous, then act what? Righteous. If he feed you with the love, then act loving. Love, act caring. Act with patience. Because it's there. You start acting it. And that's why the Bible says, don't be hearers of the word only, but be ye doers. Only doers benefit. Those who don't do deceive themselves. So we must learn to, the words he's giving us, those revelations will be in our mouth. Praise the Lord. You know, we speak worldly things more than Christian things. We have no problem talking worldly things, what the television tells us. Even if you don't know them, who is talking, but we testify for them. If they tell you the economy is bad, we carry it. Did you hear the news? Man, they say the economy is bad. Oh. May God help us. Oh. That's not the language of God. If you want the fellowship with the Spirit of God, say what he says. If you want to be in fellowship with him, he said, don't have fellowship with unfruitful work of darkness if you want to fellowship with me. You got to separate yourself and fellowship with me. If I tell you you've been healed, act it. If I say I blessed you, don't come stingy. Don't act stingy. Act like you've been blessed now and the thing will manifest. Don't act stingy. Don't come here and say, don't act according to what you have. Act according to what he tells you. Ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do here? He will tell you. You say, but I don't have his everything. You know, I blessed you now. I'm your blessing. Act like that. If you do so, you see the thing multiply, pa, 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 pa for you. Because it's not according to mathematics. Can I hear amen? It's not according to what you have. It's not according to what you can do. It's according to the power that worketh in you. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. All these youths, I'm telling you again, I told you on Sunday, you must have big visions. Aren't you the ones dancing here? I have a very big God. Agidiba. And then your vision is one weapon quoting like this. I want you to have big visions, youths. Believe big. Your God is big enough. Believe big. Talk big. Say so. Say it publicly. Declare what God has put in your heart. Where he's taking you. If you're walking, you can declare, see this place? I'm going to be the manager here. Why? Because we reign on earth. Where was Joseph? He was reigning everywhere. The Spirit of God will put you where you believe he will put you. And then you bring Christian influence. God wants managers. God wants directors. God wants people who will bring Christian influence there. If we're doing all this way on quoting, we can't bring influence. We must be in all the places for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness therein. You must go there boldly and be there. If you are walking, expect God to, you are going to be promoted. You will be where they make decisions. So when they make ungodly one, you say no. No, no, no. This is not right. You become the voice of God, the oracle of God there. And God will do it in Jesus' name. I say, God will do it in Jesus' name. I say, God will do it in Jesus' name. Even if you think you are not a youth, still dream big. Because there's no time. God can use you at 80, at 40, at 70. It's not your strength, it's the strength of the Holy Spirit. Can we rise up and worship him?